Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Small Talk, a show about small business for small business. Here's your host, Mark Esley.
Good morning and welcome to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, Domino's. We appreciate their level of support. They've always been with us. Doe, good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay, man. The Tigers just started this past weekend.
This weekend.
I guess it's past Thursday. Was the first game in Toronto.
Exactly. Now we got the big event on Thursday here. So that'll be fun. The holiday, national holiday, when no Tigers open.
You know, there's no place like Detroit when it comes to opening day
in all sports.
So this upcoming, I think it's Thursday, right?
Right.
Yep, that'll be opening day here in the Motor City.
Right.
And it's just a festival. The city shuts down. Everybody has a good time.
Exactly.
I also have to say a belated happy birthday to my son. I won't say how old he is, 30.
Liar.
He's in San Francisco. So, Cameron, we want to wish you a belated happy birthday.
That's right.
From the Motor City, and congratulations. Very proud of you. And after today will be the Final Four.
Been some great basketball. Great basketball this year.
We were just talking before the show about that one game with Duke last weekend.
Oh, yeah. That was heartbreaking.
Yeah. Well, that's why they call it the March Madness,
right? That's
right.
Exactly.
All right. We want you all to sit back and relax on this Sunday, rainy day in the Motor City. As you know, this is your source for entrepreneurship across the great city of Detroit, the state of Michigan, as well as across the country, because this show does air nationally via radio.com. And my very first guest over this nice hot cup of coffee as we enter into spring, a little bit further into spring, is a good friend of mine and working for great organizations, been on Small Talk before, Miss Michelle Gilbert, who's the Vice President for Public Relations for the Heartland Region. Michelle, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. It's great to be with you again.
Again. I always call you my co-host.
I know.
Yep. Well, we're going to talk and have a great conversation about technology and women in technology and kind of hiring in that space, if you will. So you're currently seeking to fill about 80 tech positions across Michigan, all of which require no college degree and provide on-the-job skills training. So talk to us about that.
Sure. So the positions that we're looking to hire right now are our cable technicians. They're the people who come to your home to install internet video service. They're the ones that help you with troubleshooting. If you've got an issue, they might need to come out and help fix a problem. And we are looking for 80 individuals who want to join our organization.
You know, and historically, has that been a male-dominated job?
It has. And, you know, I think everybody remembers that movie with Jim Carrey, Cable Guy, which is probably like the most horrific stereotype of what a cable technician is like. And that is not what our techs are like or any in the industry that I am aware of. But it has been primarily a male-dominated industry. And I think, you know, one of the biggest reasons behind that is, first of all, I'm going to steal a line from one of our female cable techs. What industry hasn't been male-dominated from the get-go?
Very good point.
If you think about it, women used to not work. And so every industry used to be dominated by men. And this is one that has been slower to change. I think that there are a lot of physical demands to the job that perhaps women have never really thought about. Oh, yeah, I can do that too. I will tell you the number one reason why people do not make it through our training program is because they are afraid of heights and they can't get past the fact that they have to climb a 20-foot ladder.
Well, let's talk about that training before we unpack this conversation further. What kind of training specifically is provided for those looking at these types of positions?
Sure. So we provide 12 weeks of on-the-job training. It's a combination of being out in the field with real live technicians and shadowing them, as well as spending time right here in Metro Detroit. We have a training facility which is very hands-on, and we, you know, a lot of it is classroom style, but a lot of it is really where we've simulated a home, and we give our technicians problems to troubleshoot. We let them practice installing cable and wiring homes and all those things. Any kind of mistake that's going to be made, we want them to make it in our training facility over the 12-week period, so that when they are ready to go out into the real world and install your services, there will be no mistakes that are made.
I got to ask you, so you have these 80 positions available, and have a lot of women applied for, or is there a lot of still hesitation in terms of, well, you know what, I'm not sure I want to go down that path yet?
Sure. I don't necessarily think that it's hesitation. I think that it's, they've never even considered it. And I think one of the biggest reasons that maybe they're not considering it is because people think that this is just a job and it's going to hold them over to the next opportunity, where in fact, it's not that at all. Everybody in our organization who is in management in our technician department has come up through the ranks. They started as an installer. Our vice president, who oversees the entire technical operations department, he started as an installer, and now he oversees the entire department for a 3-state region. So I think it's more that women just didn't consider it. You know, I think there might also be some hesitation about, well, I don't want to walk into a home by myself. Is that dangerous? And I will tell you that the training that we put all of our trainees through, men and women, we help them understand, if you are in a situation where you are uncomfortable, we help them determine how to get through that situation and how to get them out of that situation. We also, our supervisors are very good about, they know about how long a technician should be at a house. Mm-hmm. And if someone is there longer than expected, they call them and check in. Do you need backup? Are you okay? Mm-hmm. So that, you know, our employee safety is our number one priority.
So you have that safety net built in.
We do. Absolutely. Yes, very much so.
We are talking to Michelle Gilbert this morning. She's the Vice President of Public Relations for Comcast Business. For Comcast, I want to make sure.
For Comcast.
Comcast. And she's with the Heartland region, which consists of, I got it, Michigan, Indiana, and Kentucky.
You've got it.
I got it. And she's really just unpacking a conversation about women in technology. And they're looking to hire women in a male-dominated field, which historically has been a male-dominated field. And she's giving you some very good information about how to, we're going to talk about how to fill these roles and what exactly are they looking for. And she talked about the training program that people are going to go through. So as we talk about it being a male-dominated industry or field in the past, that's beginning to change. And you're seeking to hire more women into these tech roles, right?
Yes.
So why do women excel in this particular role? What's different about it?
Well, I think what is different is that, first of all, I want to point out that there are a lot of physical demands to the job. You have to carry a ladder. You have to climb a ladder. You might have to crawl into a crawl space. And you have to work in, you know, conditions like cold weather, very hot weather. But listen, we've got women in the military. If they can be in the military, they can certainly do this job too. Yeah. So, you know, I think we've got to get past that, you know, women are not strong enough, because they are. So that's number one. What I think that women really bring to the job that is really needed right now is those soft skills, the customer service skills. The products and services that Comcast provides that we as consumers rely on every single day, whether it's our internet service, maybe our video service, and for some of us, our home phone service, it's more complex than ever before.
Yeah.
And so it requires explanation, answering questions, showing what apps do you want to download so you can get the most value out of the products and services that you're paying for. And I'm not suggesting that men do not have that level of patience. What I am saying is that women, most women inherently bring that to the job. It is very natural for them. And when I talk to our female technicians, it's the part of the job that they love the most.
Yeah.
So, you know, as we seek to improve the customer experience at every touch point, whether it's over the phone, in person, we're looking for people who want to help others, who want to explain technology and help people understand how they can get more value
and
from it.
And ultimately, it impacts the customer experience, and I think that's what people are looking for. And they want someone, certainly, that's going to be responsive to their needs and certainly
right.
have conversations with them, provide them with solutions. And I don't care if you're a male or a female or whomever.
Right.
That person's just, I'm just looking for the best customer service to certainly provide me with a solution to a challenge I may have.
That is 100% correct.
Yeah. And speaking of the positions themselves, these are pretty much entry-level positions. Talk about that. And as they come into the organization with these entry-level positions or a particular position, where do they go from there?
Yeah. So they are entry-level positions, but there is growth opportunities all along the way. We have various levels of a technician. So once you have mastered that first level, you come in for more training, and you then have the ability to install other products and services, such as maybe Xfinity Home, our home security, or Comcast Business products and services. So you have the ability to really grow within that position. And then again, all of our supervisors, managers, directors, and even our vice presidents, they have all come up through the ranks. And there are, I believe, 150 supervisor and above positions that we have just in the Heartland region, and all of them have been promoted from a frontline position.
We have a couple of minutes remaining together, and as we continue down this path of women in technology, specifically within Comcast, you know, listen to what she's saying. There's an opportunity. You know, we're talking about jobs and job creation. Our next guest will be Khalil Rahal. We're going to be talking about economic development in Wayne County. But here's another opportunity in terms of from a major employer where you can get your foot in the door and certainly get an opportunity to get that exposure and the experience and still have some type of career path at a major organization such as Comcast. Talk to that person who's not comfortable yet and they're afraid to take that first step into really getting into this entry-level position, but yet they're looking for work. What do you tell that person?
I would tell that person that, you know, sometimes we have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And, you know, it's important to take a chance on yourself and to explore different opportunities to see what you like. I can tell you the reason people stay with Comcast, besides the fact that we pay well and we have strong benefits, is it's a very team-oriented environment. Mm-hmm. Someone always has your back.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of people wanting to apply and get more information about the position, talk to us about the process that they'd have to go through.
Sure. So everything starts online. So if you go to comcast.com/careers, it's very, very easy to search by geography for the type of position that you're looking for. And that is the very first step to upload your resume, tell a little bit about yourself, and then you'll have a call over the phone, and the process starts from there.
So don't just send in your resume blind through the mail
anymore. Right. I don't know anyone who does that.
Yeah. Well, some people still do.
They take it that way?
We may have some more mature people listening who may not have, you know, they still like to do things the old-fashioned way as well.
But I'm not sure any companies are taking them that way anymore.
And that's why we want to make that clear.
Everything is online.
And that's why we want to make that clarification.
Yes,
this morning.
Thank you.
Michelle Gilbert, we want to applaud you for coming in. Again, another opportunity for job creation is being handled over at Comcast. Congratulations. We'll encourage as many people to go out and look for that position, particularly women. You're looking to fill those positions in that space, right?
We are looking to fill it with men or women who are interested in growing their careers with Comcast.
Thank you for the clarification. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
To make it a great day.
Thank you.
That's Michelle Gilbert from Comcast. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Yes, we want you to sit back and enjoy that nice hot cup of coffee. As I always like to say, yeah, the weather's changing and it's getting a little bit warmer. We know that winter's still trying to hang in there every once in a while, but we know that spring is going to win out. You know how I know it's going to win out, though? Let me tell you why. This past week, they were out there cutting my grass.
Oh, wow.
That's a sign. They were cleaning out all the leaves. I live in a condo. They were cleaning out all the leaves and all that soot, and now it looks pretty good.
Yeah, mine isn't worth cutting right now. It's still kind of dormant.
I know, that's right. All right, we have a very special next guest, Mr. Khalil Rahal, and Assistant Wayne County Director, right?
Yes, sir.
In Wayne County, Michigan, which encompasses the great city of Detroit and other cities in the metropolitan area. And we're going to unpack a conversation I think is very important to all of us. So, Khalil, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
No, thanks. Thanks for having me.
So good to see. How's the Wayne County exec?
He's doing well. He's doing very well. Thanks.
And you were just telling me to get in a wonderful State of the County address recently. I did read it about it in the papers and tracked it.
Yeah, I think, by all accounts, it was a major success. He changed up the format a little bit this year. Went from being from a teleprompter to sort of freelancing a little bit, walking around on stage, talked for about an hour and 20 minutes straight, and gave the people a lot of knowledge. So I think you can find some of the videos online, clips, but it's very informative.
And speaking of it being informative, this is a very important conversation we're going to have here because we know that the economics have been relatively strong.
Yeah.
A lot of investment taking place, a lot of great news is coming out of the county, no question. As you know, this show is focused on, entrepreneurship and small business development. But there are some challenges, some inkling, there's some noise on the horizon that the economy can be slowing down.
Yes.
And it could be some challenges. Many people are projecting maybe in the fourth quarter of this year.
Right.
Let's unpack that conversation from Wayne County's perspective.
Yeah. Well, I mean, economists will tell you that every 7 to 10 years, the economy slows down. It goes in waves. Everything's kind of cyclical. And there's no better measurement for what's going to happen in the economy or really in the world than history, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think many people are looking at that. And if you remember the crash when it did happen in 2008, 2007, 2009-ish, it's 2019. And we are at the tail end of that typical historical cyclical, wave. And really, the country has never really seen a wave like this in our history. And so a lot of folks are sort of asking the very question that you just said, when is the shoe going to drop?
Right.
And if it drops, how far does it drop? If it's going to slow down, is it going to be a major slowdown? Is it just going to be a soft landing? What do those things kind of look like? And as a result, investors are not spending their money. It's kind of like playing a game, whether it's a basketball game like you're going to watch or a football game. You don't take the field unless you know the rules of the game. Investors don't spend their money until they know what's going to happen. Their major thought process is evaluating risk the whole time. And when investors aren't spending their money, that oftentimes hits small businesses the most. Because what you'll see is that, the economy starts to slow down. Consumers spend less out of fear of their own job being lost. And usually that ends up trickling down really hard on the small businesses.
And as we talk about, businesses, small businesses and large businesses, let me go back to Wayne County for a second before we go back to the small businesses. So how does Wayne County learn from the past experience of weathering that storm 10 years ago? So to your point, here we are in 2019, and it's on the horizon with nothing. We can't predict the future.
Right.
And to your point, people are kind of saying, okay, the other shoe's got to drop. So how does Wayne County, as a county of 2 million people, basically, how do you address that uncertainty of the future?
Yeah. I mean, I think one of the things we did learn from the past is we had so much focus on, the shiny coin, the big conglomerate, company from China coming here to invest in hundreds of millions of dollars and always going after that big fish. The fact is, next year, 70, 80% of all the new jobs and new investment in Wayne County will come from existing Wayne County businesses. And so we have taken an approach to really refocus, our efforts towards existing businesses and a lot of them small businesses to help those businesses stay healthy, grow and expand.
Mm-hmm. And now let's unpack it for the small businesses. I'm pleased to announce that we will be doing a workshop in May, the Lee Group, in conjunction with Fifth Third Bank. They're presenting it. We thank you, Fifth Third Bank, for your support, of course. But this year's theme is navigating the headwinds of change.
Right.
Navigating the headwinds of change. And what we mean by that is if you're flying, and sometimes there's the tail spin, the wind behind you, right?
Right.
And then there's the headwind.
Yeah.
Right. And so when the wind's behind you, it can push you faster. But then you have that wind in front of you. The headwind, it slows you down.
That's right.
And sometimes it can kind of get you off of that balance.
Right.
So let's kind of unpack that conversation as relates to entrepreneurs. How can they navigate those headwinds of change? Right now, things are going pretty well, but they're not exactly sure about the future. So what are some of the things that they could run into that they might need to overcome?
Sure. Well, obviously, with the slowing of the economy, and you're going to see a lot, you know, lower on some of the sales if that happens, you're going to ask yourself, how do you adjust? Now, the good news about small businesses is they can make decisions on a dime.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a bigger business, you got a lot of stakeholders. You got board members. You've got to get a lot of buy-in. And you got to get to a vote sometimes. On small businesses, if you own your own business, you can change with the winds, as you're describing.
And by
right?
the way, it's the tailwind.
The tailwind.
Thank
you. Got
you.
It.
I knew it was going to come to me.
That's all right. So you got to be able to make those decisions very, very quickly and be very nimble, right? We at Wayne County, we created the Wayne County Business Resource Network, and it's intended to provide free advice to small businesses during these tough times and during times of growth as well, because that advice can be different and it can change. But what we find is, you know, a lot of small businesses, when they're going through those tough times, they've got to take a step back from their day-to-day operations. They've got to think long-term strategy. Mm-hmm. And a lot of businesses get very, very dependent on a particular customer. We find that, you know, stepping back and thinking about it a little bit, you know, diversifying your customer base, even just modestly, can have incredible long-term impacts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other things like making sure you're paying attention to cash flow. A lot of people during the rough times, what do? They look right at their bottom dollar, right at the bottom line. You know, what are the sales? What are the grosses? And people sometimes neglect looking at cash flow. And the reason why that's important is because you don't want to spring something on your creditors, like, you know, when you're in trouble, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be able to plan. You want to be able to look at things in the future and account for those kinds of things so that you can make decisions and change with the winds. Marketing is another thing that you wouldn't think of that you want to focus on during rough times, but products don't sell themselves, and marketing is changing. You know, there's a lot of different ways to market now than there used to be, and so particularly focusing on a target type of audience is an art.
Yeah.
And data. Data is the last thing I would throw in there. Data is so, so important. And these are the types of things that the Wayne County Business Resource Network can educate folks on, and they can do it for free.
Yeah. And you know, raised a couple of interesting points that I totally agree with. You know, a lot of times as an entrepreneur, let me kind of recap a couple of things here. You know, you look at the bottom line.
Yeah.
Money's coming in great. The times are great. You're hiring people, or so you think, or whatever. You need to still think. Listen to what Khalil said. You need to think long term.
Yeah.
You always need to have think long term. And it's okay to have those three contingency plans. In other words, your realistic plan.
Right.
What happens if your business or the economy slows down versus what happens if the economy maintains the momentum,
right?
That tailwind behind us. So you have to have a plan to address, though, however, that potential headwind again. When it comes to paying people, when it comes to new clients, do you really understand your customers? Do you understand the data behind those customers? Do you understand what they might purchase and why? Those are all important factors as you think about the economy long term. Yes, we know that times are relatively strong right now, but are you ready?
Right.
can you switch on a dime? Are you ready when those headwinds get stronger?
Right.
And Wayne County certainly has resources to help you. Any additional resources that people could turn with the county?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think what will happen is, you know, you start getting into the Wayne County Business Resource Network, you start learning that there are other things the county can help you with. And that may be, you know, finding efficiencies within your business. I think a lot of times people don't always, you know, when they get into the busy day-to-day stuff, if you take a step back, you know, you can find tons of efficiencies, whether it's processing, packaging, merchandising, importing, exporting. There are probably things there that I think folks, you know, sometimes when they're getting busy and sales are going well and you keep, you know, accumulating all those customers, you know, sometimes these are the types of things you neglect. Insurance, you know, which is just another factor of things with Wayne County Business Resource Network. We have Health Choice at the county, which is a form of helping small businesses with insurance. And then anything from when it comes to permitting to assessments to all those types of things that you think government, right, yeah, can help stand in the way. The Wayne County Business Resource Network is really intended to do two things. One, they want to provide you the free advice. And sometimes that advice is, maybe that's not the best idea, right? Sometimes it's the best free advice you can get.
Yeah.
But two, we do want to establish a good relationship with small businesses and government so that they have a place to go and talk and complain sometimes if they need to.
Well, and since I have the assistant economic director here for Wink, I will be remiss if I did not ask you in our closing few moments together about the great news that's happening, that's coming out of Detroit and in Wayne County when it comes to economic development.
Yeah.
We can't turn the TV on these days or pick up a newspaper or read certain publications or listen to small talk without hearing some more great news coming out.
Yeah.
My goodness, what's going on, man?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, we've got some
incredible.
Really, we got some good leadership in place. And that goes from the mayor, and that goes to the county executive, and it goes to the business community as well. There were, you know, a few years ago where we were known as a place that people would come to visit for the ruins.
Yeah.
Now we are building skyscrapers, and that's a heck of a turnaround.
Yeah. I'd also, in a moment of reflection, would like to ask you for your thoughts on L. Brooks Patterson.
Yes. You know, we're all praying for him. I think the county executive did put out, you know, some communications yesterday that we hope he makes it through. I tell you, if it's one thing we can all agree about, yeah, Brooks, is that he is a fighter. And there's no doubt about that. And I think we're all going to be there hoping the best.
Now, let me just say, I know about the policy differences. This is not about policy differences right now. We understand and respect Brooks for his love and compassion, for, I'm sure you do, for Oakland County.
Yes.
Just as Mark Hackle has Macomb County and certainly Warren Evans, Wayne County Exec Evans has Wayne County. But we are thinking about him. I've been fortunate enough to be on with him several times on Michigan Matters with Carol Kane. And I always sit next to Brooks, and he always gives me that look. And says,
yeah.
One time, it's a true story. He was answering a question asked by Carol. He lost his train of thought. And fortunately, the camera was on him. He says, Mark, you know what I'm trying to say, Mark, don't you? I said, no, Brooks, I have no idea what you're talking about. So there was a funny side of him. So we do wish him the best.
Absolutely.
In terms of anything else in closing, our closing seconds, that you'd like to share about the county and get where people get more information to hook up these resources?
Absolutely. Please take a look at the website, www.waynecounty.com. I will tell you that the we were entering in the next 4 years of the Warren Evans administration. The first 4 years was very much focused on recovery. We are entering into a place where we are going to rebuild, and a lot of that starts with getting back to the basics, and that's exactly where we look at helping out small businesses.
Well, I've known you for a while now, yeah, and I got to tell you, man, I love your passion. You're part of an excellent team, and kudos to Wayne County Exec and the entire team for all the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. That's Mr. Khalil Rahal from Wayne County, and we want to thank you for coming in and giving you some perspective on navigating the headwinds of change. We will be exploring that concept further on May 7th at Tech Town Detroit from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 440 Burrell Street. All right, hang tight. There'll be more guests after this commercial break on Small Talk with Mark Astley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning. Welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Astley, brought to you by Domino's. All right, as you know, this part of the show, I'd like to give my shout out. So starting here in the Motor City, you might be listening to us on AM 1270 and reading your free press or your mobile technology. I want to give them a shout out and thank them for giving me this forum each and every single week to have this conversation with you. Or you might be listening across the country, across many of our .coms, including radio.com, WWJNewsRadio.com, ElitegroupInnovation.com, TheHubDetroit.com, Facebook.com or SoundCloud.com. Yes, we continue to expand. You may be sitting at home in your local city across the country reading your newspaper or your mobile technology. Just sit back and relax and enjoy the conversation with our very special next guest. And she is, in fact, no stranger to small talk, Dr. Paula Kleiger. And she's an author, artist, and psychologist, and she owns Psychological Assets based in Birmingham, Michigan, with locations in both Farmington Hills and New York City. Dr. Kleiger, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here.
We're glad to have you back. You always do a great job. You always provide us with some wonderful insights. Just start out with very briefly, give us an overview of Psychological Assets.
Well, it's a clinical practice where we work a lot with complex family cases. People come in with youngsters who have some concerns of one kind or another, or the parents do, but it's a family matter, and we've been called on to really help more complex situations. Mm-hmm. I also do a fair amount of organizational consultation. I do work with leaders around the country, even out of the country, and their teams for medium-sized to large organizations. And I've been doing that for now. We just celebrated 30 years.
Well, congratulations. 30 years, and that's wonderful. And every time I talk to you, you continue to grow and expand. So I got to keep having you on Small Talk, because as you grow and expand, maybe you'll take my show across the country as well. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And speaking of complex situations, we are kind of living in a complex society these days in terms of division and challenges that people are having. You know, in your practice, you focus on or you address dispute resolution, for example. And so why is our society so divided these days? And why can't we get beyond the differences that we currently have?
You know, that's a complex question in and of itself. For many reasons, technology having a big part to play in all of this, we have the opportunity to have many, many more voices in the mix. And as we have more and more people who have a voice and may come from a different vantage point, then we also have the opportunity, while we may not feel like it's an mm-hmm. opportunity, to express our differences and to actually feel compelled to disagree much more. So it's kind of like a natural outgrowth of our development and our growth. I think the question is, how can we allow ourselves to be a part of a society or a globe that everyone has an opportunity to speak and to have a view and find a way to come together around our being human?
Yeah.
And that we begin there.
And even in the company space, irrespective of size, small, medium, or large, there are differences inside that organization. You're going to be, whether it's cultural differences, thought processes, and sometimes that can lead to division inside of the workplace, which can certainly impact your overall productivity. How do you help organizations identify that common ground that we need to have so that people can work together in a much more productive nature? And I don't care if you're listening today, you know, this is Small Talk, and we focus on small businesses, small to medium-sized businesses. This conversation is for small, medium, and large organizations.
Well, it took me a while to figure out some of the best ways to bring people together in organizations, particularly where they were having feuds or they were having strong conflicts with each other. And what happened was I needed to find non-threatening ways to bring people together that would allow them to talk together, or not around whatever they were feuding about, but to just talk as human beings. So this is where my art came in.
Well, I want to come back to that.
Okay.
So we kind of taking it beyond, you're identifying a new way.
Sure.
Essentially of engaging
people. Yes.
Now, I remember, I've had you on the show before, and I've introduced you a certain way. Today is the first time I've introduced you as an artist.
Yes.
So let's talk about that, and you discover art and how that can be helpful for various parties. Talk about your commitment to art, how you got involved, and how you're helping that to resolve situations.
Well, I was not a psychologist first. I really was a musician and
really?
Singer. Yes. And I traveled a lot of, I'm from New York City originally. And
Want me to start singing?
Yes, yeah, you all can right, sing, and I might even sing along a little bit. All right. But the bottom line is I also did a lot of writing, a fair amount of writing. And then I decided when I was doing these very intense consultations with businesses, I'd come back and I was really struck by how emotional I would feel trying to help people come together around some issue and to resolve it. So I started painting. And I began through the painting to sort out what was going on with Company X and their leadership. I began to find solutions to their problems through my own painting and through my own writing words about what I would observe them talking about. And it occurred to me, you know, why don't I try this out with them? Well, I cannot tell you. I took one of my paintings into a meeting with a group of C-suite leaders of a medium-sized organization. They did not expect this. At first, I said, we're going to do something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
I presented them with a painting, and I said, so I want you to take a few minutes, think about this. What do you see? At first, they looked at me like, okay, Dr. Kleiger, this is absurd. I thought we were going to talk about our strategic goals today. And I said, no, I wanted you just to sit and relax, just take a deep breath, and tell me what you see in the painting. Well, I'm going to tell you, Mark, after a while, all around the room, people were coming up with all kinds of things they saw in the painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote them down. I told them to write them down. Then I said, next step, tell me how what you came up with relates to your life. And wow, just that introduction allowed people to begin to share just a little bit more about themselves.
So they became
personally
more introspective.
They did.
And they pulled it out.
They pulled it out through the just thinking about what the painting meant to them. And not only did they learn something about themselves, they started sharing.
That was going to be my comment. So that they brought the inside out, and then they started communicating.
With each other.
With each other.
And then the common ground began to happen.
That's incredible.
Okay. So the art became one of those really interesting tools that I could use. And interestingly enough, what I found, that particular organization I worked with for a long, long time, when I stopped introducing things like the artwork or I did some even mindfulness work with the leadership, they would come and they say, well, where's this activity? Where's our artwork that we could really work with today? So there's something about this universal way of expressing oneself through art.
Mm-hmm.
Even music,
mm-hmm.
okay, and writing that people respond to.
I find myself, I got to be honest with you, everybody who knows me knows I love music. I love jazz music. And there's something about jazz music, man. It just takes me into another world.
Mm-hmm.
I could be around a lot of people. If I hear jazz music in the background, I drift away. And I've always been there. I understand what you're saying. You get in my car right now, I got on jazz. All it's cranked up. And I just drive, and I'm so chilled and so relaxed.
And that is the key, how to help people individually and as a group come to that space where they can still and quiet and really listen to themselves and tune in a way that's more empathic.
Well, let's talk about art, because this art form became the basis of your book, which is Power Your Heart and You Power Your Mind, and will serve as a centerpiece of an upcoming art exhibition you're having in Detroit. Tell us about that.
So I had a number of colleagues who said, you've got to put together a book of your illustrations with the words that go with them. And the basic principles that I use in my organizational consultations. And that's what this book really is. And then someone said, you know, your art pieces, people might really become even more engaged if you had an exhibition. So that's what it is. The exhibition is it's called We Are Human First, and the emphasis is on coming together with this notion that we are collective and we are connected. And it's on April 12th and 13th at Gallery Camille here in Detroit, which I'm very, very excited about. It's a wonderful, smaller gallery, and it's interactive. Completely interactive.
So what happens? So people, they go to this exhibition. What can they expect to see? So when you say it's interactive, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it means not only will they see some of the illustrations that I've done, but we're also going to have some activities so that people can bring their own stories to the table. Hmm. So, for example, we'll have a film that is evocative. It will bring out people's feelings about themselves and their history, so they will be able to write and talk about that. But then we'll also have this wonderful exercise that's called Your Life Mosaic, where I not only will people see the artwork I've done, but they're going to have an opportunity to do their own. And that nearly always gets people really excited, so they will do their own artwork, and then they'll have an opportunity to share it with others.
And they can purchase the tickets online?
Yes, they can. At Eventbrite.
Eventbrite.
They can purchase the tickets, and it's entitled We're Human First, Gallery Camille, Friday and Saturday, April 12th and April 13th.
That's fascinating. And let's talk about your book briefly. Where can people get your book? How long has the book been published, and how is it
doing? The book was published March 2018. It's been out a year, and now it's on Amazon. Okay.
If you got some on Amazon, you must be doing some all right.
So it's on Amazon, and you can, if you go to Amazon and you click on Power Your Heart, You Power Your Mind, Self-Study, Then Build a Bridge to Someone, and my name, Paula Christian Kleiger, you will be able to purchase it right there. And if you do, read it, get into it, and tell me something about what you got from it. I will be thrilled to get your words back.
Well, in our closing seconds together, Dr. Kleiger, I got to tell you, every time you come in, you give us new information, and you give us something to think about. And I think you've given us another avenue to think about this morning, about introspection and then pushing it out to have conversations with other people. We wish you much continued success on your upcoming exhibit and also your book. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mark.
My pleasure. Dr. Paula Kleiger, author, artist, psychologist with Psychological Assets, based here in the Motor City area in Birmingham, also in Farmington Hills and in New York City. There'll be more guests at this commercial break talking a little bit about the bald swag. What is that? Stay tuned. We'll be right back on Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Good morning and welcome back to Small Talk with Mark Esley, brought to you by Domino's. Boy, I tell you, we've been having a great conversation today, talking about women and technology. Came back and had a great conversation about navigating the headwinds of change and what's happening across Wayne County, and talking about some of their resources in the upcoming Small Business Workshop. And then we had on Dr. Paula Kleiger, and she was sharing with you an interesting way of using art to basically help you get in touch with your inner self and bringing that out so you have effective communications with your colleagues and other individuals. And last but not least, we have an outstanding young man here, Mr. Dave Logan. And Dave is an entrepreneur, and I'm going to have him give you a brief overview of his business. But we're going to spend some time talking about this thing called the bald swag. Mr. Logan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for having me, Mark Lee.
Thank you for coming in and, joining us, joining the conversation. Talk to us about your role. I mean, you're an entrepreneur. How long have you been in business? Kind of take us down that journey, if you will.
Yeah, so to start the journey off, I mean, I'm born and raised in downtown Detroit, Michigan, and my father, ironically enough, was a bald man. And so he used to have a huge afro, but the entire middle part of that afro was missing. And so, and I saw him kind of struggle with the decision of, what do I do now? Yeah. You know, what's my transition plan? And I saw him start shaving his head clean. And when I saw that, it helped prepare both my brother and I, who both of us are bald men, for that next phase of life. And conceptually, that's how I came up with bald swag. I was maybe 27 years old when my hair follicle started to betray me. And figuring out that next step was kind of a big deal. And as I went through that process, I said, you know what? instead of attacking a man's confidence and trying to peddle other types of prescription drugs or other drugs that people can use, how about taking the other side of instilling confidence and giving another alternative as to how you progress through life through the natural change?
Yeah. And that natural change is, you know, when it comes to men's follicles, some of us become bald, or we decide to, we might be losing our hair, we may go bald, we may cut it bald all the way around. And so you came up with this idea focused on baldness, the bald swag.
Yes, sir. The, you know, 65% of men are bald or balding by the age of 30. So when you think of how large of a target market, you know, that is, it's 2 out of every 3 men over the age of 30. So we built a lifestyle. You know, we kind of looked at, there's a maintenance that goes along with maintaining a bald head, whether you're a buzz cut, whether you're a clean shaven bald head, whether you're bald by circumstance or you're bald by choice. All of those pieces come with a lifestyle. And that's what we started to build out through Bald Swag, as we coined it, the lifestyle brand for the bald man.
So we have 3 people. Don't, all right, I'm looking at Doug right now. Okay, now this is a unscientific poll, but 3 of us in the studio and 2 of us are bald. So that's your 66%.
66.6%.
So Doug, what's your secret, man? How do you
feel? It's funny you ask that, because I have a brother that's bald and another brother that's been losing hair since he was about, it's getting thinner and thinner. Mine's getting thinner. But I must have my mother's genes, because her dad had a head full of hair when he passed in 80. But everybody on my dad's side, and my dad was bald, and I'm thinking, oh, man, this is gonna, it's going to hit me some. And every time we get together, my brothers just go, I don't know. But it's okay.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's the funny part, is that why is it a negative thing?
Right.
And I think that's the part that we're looking to change. It's a mentality shift.
Exactly.
When I look at it, and you see now guys like The Rock and Dave Chappelle and Chauncey Billups and Rip Hamilton. I mean, we watched Rip Hamilton go through his journey from cornrows to now a clean-shaven, bald man. And so it should, in my opinion, and my thought process, it's something to be embraced and celebrated. When it's your time, come on home. Let's get it done.
But you know what? I think a lot of that goes back to, who's the guy with all the hair? Samson. Was it Samson?
Samson.
Samson. Yeah. Didn't Samson have all the hair?
Yeah. All of his strength was through his hair.
Yeah. And that kind of became, I think, probably for those more mature, older people, whatever the case might be, you know, we used to always hear about Samson growing up. And I think there was always that connection. But now, over the years, like you said, The Rock and all these other famous people are now, you know, certainly have been gone bald.
Yep.
And people have made a lifestyle out of that. So, Doki, we got to get your hair shaved.
Well, see, and that's what I told my brother, because he, you know, he parted his hair, you know, an inch above his ear.
I
said, why don't you just lose it?
Just shave it off.
But like I say, we have friends here at work that, you know, I've seen go from, you know, thinning hair to, and he went bald, and he hasn't changed since. He's been here for 10 years, and he looks good. I wouldn't, you know, any other way, I wouldn't expect him that.
We are approaching our 1-year anniversary of our official launch, which was Father's Day 2018.
Congratulations.
And thank you. And, you know, in conversations, even like the one we're having today, 9 times out of 10, when I tell people about Bald Swag, they instantly want to tell me the story of how they went through the transition of losing their hair.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I've heard conversations, guys like, you know, I was so embarrassed. I used to take a Sharpie and fill in a couple of holes here. I know you have other guys, I was using the paint, or I'd always wear a hat. You'd never see me without my hat.
Yeah.
Because there was an element of shame almost that went along with it, where nowadays I view bald as power.
It's almost a badge of honor.
It's a badge of honor. It is freeing.
Yeah.
You know, it's freeing. Eliminate the objection and move forward.
How many people have you had come up to you and say, oh, you look good? Yeah, you know, your bald head looks good. I've had people come up to me and want to touch my head. Yeah. That's the most common thing. Just be sitting there, and people, I'm like, whoa, you know, you can't get into my space. But I want to just touch your head. I mean, so there is this acceptance of it over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And what you just said is that 2/3 of the people are bald or balding.
Yes.
By the time they're 30?
And the thing is, it doesn't discriminate. It's just a core. Right. It doesn't matter if you're black, white, native, you know, Middle Eastern, Eastern European, gay, straight, it does not matter. At the end of the day, the lack of hair follicles is what unites us. And our other hashtag is Confidence United, you know, and we're trying to unify a community that can embrace that change and have an impact in the community, because that's a lot of people, you know, in that community. And I don't take that away from women as well, you know. And so we started off as the lifestyle brand for the bald man. But in starting, I've also heard from a lot of bald women, you know, that embrace the natural change of life as well. So it's, and some by choice, some by circumstance. At the end of the day, I think it looks good. And apparently a lot of other people do too.
Well, look, it's normal to me. I mean, when I see you, I don't even think twice about it. I don't think twice about it. Oh, these are two bald guys coming. That's not what I think. I just think, oh, they're good looking guys. Well, you know, Mark, I'm right.
It's okay.
But I mean, I don't look at it as a negative, right. And I don't look at it as a problem.
I think there are two types, and I'm always very careful of saying that. There's those that are struggling with the transition,
right.
And there is a level of embarrassment or shame for them. We're trying to correct that. Then there's the other level, like myself or maybe like Mark, where I already know I look good. Yeah. You know, I already feel good. So, you know, I'm already about the swag and the confidence of the brand, but there are other people that may struggle. It is a legitimate struggle for some, not all. And so it's uniting that community together, because everyone's got their own perspective. But we're still a community that I'm trying to unite that has not been united yet.
We are talking to Dave Logan this morning, and yes, we're talking about bald. We're talking about the bald swag and how it's turned into a level of confidence for men over the years and women. So that's been the spirit of fairness here. So he's an entrepreneur who's doing some great things. He's celebrating his one-year anniversary, his upcoming Father's Day this year in 2019. So when we say bald swag, let's clarify. So it's actually a clothing line?
It is actually today a clothing line and community that we're starting to build. As it evolves, we will be adding razors, we'll be adding head balms, we'll be adding shaving creams, we'll be adding all the pieces that you need, the how-to videos for first-time shavers. We'll be adding all of those pieces, as well as some of the funny interviews that we've kind of done so far of people's first stories, you know, on how they eventually came to, you know, their transition. But it's to be a total community. What our goal is to own the confidence in baldness as a whole.
Yeah.
And own everything that filters along with that community of our target market.
Well, you see, we've engaged Doak as part of conversation because Doak is the only one in the studio right now with hair. So we want to make sure we give the guys with hair an opportunity to speak up and defend themselves. Huh, Doak?
Yeah, it comes natural to me. But that's, you know. Anyway.
Yeah, so when you're talking about your projected or your line extension, your brand extension, at what, from a timing standpoint, what are you thinking? You said razors and videos and... Is that a year, 2 years down the road for the brand extension?
Our goal for the brand extension on the razor, head creams, shaving balms is by this year's end.
Okay.
We've expanded our line already. We started off with T-shirts and sweatshirts and hoodies and tank tops for working out. We started off with those basic pieces. We will also be adding other accessory-based products where you can celebrate your bald swag in one way or another. Maybe you like cufflinks. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wear a T-shirt. Mm-hmm. But I stay suited and booted so I can still have my support and my bald swag in my own way.
Do you have a brick-and-mortar store, or is it strictly online?
We are a complete web platform-based business today. My headquarters, I keep actually at the Detroit Athletic Club, so we have a little space down there. But that's where I keep my headquarters. But right now, we're a completely web-based platform, and they can find us at baldswaginc.com.
How do you... tell that person, in our closing couple minutes together or so, this is a very unique concept. And when people first heard about it, probably like, you know, laughed a little bit, like, what? Balls, what? All right. So what do you tell that person who's like, wait a minute, that sounds like a very unique concept, but that seems to be too far out there for me?
Yeah, I think that, well, thankfully we already have three investors, so it wasn't that far-fetched for a lot of people.
Absolutely.
But I like the fact that the first part is almost a chuckle.
Yeah.
I like that because I wanted a fun business. I come from a sports, music, comedy, and overall entertainment background. And so for me, I saw how this type of unifying community and business could be cross-platformed across a multitude of industries. It doesn't matter whether you like sports, whether you're an author, whether you're a television host, whether you're an actual athlete. It doesn't matter. It crosses all of those borders. I like that because it's a conversation starter. Mm-hmm. So when that piece can happen and people start embracing that natural change, I want bald swag to be the thing that they now consider. When they talk about someone, hey, man, you need to come on home. It might be time to shave. Yeah. Or what I like to say, hey, man, it might be time for you to get some bald swag.
Yeah.
You know, it might be time. I like that we position it as a thing, as a noun, as something that you can actually acquire. And I think that that's a little bit of the secret sauce that we've been working
on. Well, in closing, what is the website one more time?
www.baldswaginc.com.
www.baldswaginc.com. Man, this is a great conversation. It's been fun. I appreciate you coming in and sharing it with us.
I'm absolutely honored, and I really do appreciate the invitation.
My pleasure. Next time you come in, Doke will be bald. Dave Logan from Bald Swag, we thank you very much, Doke.
Yes.
I know you're going to sit back and watch a little bit more college basketball.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it. I love this time of year.
Yeah, I love it, too, man. I'm going to try to watch a little bit of Tigers, too. Why not?
Yeah, what the heck?
Right, we've got a long ways to go. We've got 160 games to go, but exactly. That's all right.
Long season.
Go out and make it a great day, man.
You too.
And we want you all to go out and make it a great day, make it a great week. And yes, this is opening week here in the Motor City. So always in closing, I'm going to say for the very first time, go Tigers.